I invite you to turn your Bibles once again to Ephesians chapter 4 as we look at lessons in the new life. I'm reminded in this passage of Scripture we've talked about our words, how we are to use our words to edify one another, to build each other up. In verse 29, that we are to use our communication, our words that proceed out of our mouth to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. And as I thought, was thinking, as Mark was singing over this passage of Scripture that I'm dealing with today, it can be taken two ways. It can be taken as condemnation, asking the Holy Spirit to bring conviction into our lives if we're not measuring up. You know, we are to judge ourselves. That's true. We are to judge ourselves in order to correct our pathway, in order to stay in line with the Scripture and with the will of God in our lives and so forth. We're to judge ourselves, but sometimes when we judge ourselves, we're awfully hard on ourselves. So rather than take these words as condemnation, perhaps the Lord would have us to take these words today as exhortation. Just the words of Scripture to encourage us to do what we should be doing, to encourage us to be faithful in our walk, to encourage us to allow the Holy Spirit to have His way, His work in our lives, that we would yield to that, to be kind and forgiving to one another. The words of exhortation, these can be looked at either way as judgmental words. You know, if these things are present in your life, they ought not to be, and we ought to be very stern, very strict on getting rid of these things by the grace of God. But on the other hand, God knows we are as dust. He knows that we are weak. He knows that we have down times. All of us do. He knows that we struggle with areas in our life which are weak. And so I believe that he used the Apostle Paul. He inspired the Word of God and used him to write words that would lift us up, words that would edify, words that would encourage us in our walk. With that in mind, let me just review where we have been in our study on lessons in the new life. Six things that we're looking at, six very practical areas of walking the new life, practices of the new life, and every one of them start with the word, believers are to change. We are to change, granted. We are new creatures in Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And really, the Holy Spirit is causing these things to become new as we yield to Him. So believers are to change under the power, under the strength of God's Holy Spirit, from verse 25, from lying to speaking the truth. Verse 25 says, put away lying. Naturally, we know all believers should be people who speak the truth, people who are honest, people who are of integrity. The Holy Spirit, you know, the old man, the old way of life, before we were saved, some of us had trouble in that area. Some of us still struggle with trouble in that area. If we were honest before God and asked the Lord to honestly search our heart and know our thoughts and see if there'd be any wicked way in us, there'd be areas, and maybe to other people they would seem small and insignificant, but to us, God wants us to be holy. He wants us to be pure. And so we should stop speaking lies, and we should put away lying and speak every man truth with his neighbor. Why? Because we are members one of another. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. Problems arise when brothers and sisters aren't honest with each other. Amen? Problems arise when we start saying things that are hurtful and damaging and untrue. Or we're to change from lying to speaking the truth. And secondly, we're to change from unrighteous anger to righteous anger. This is an area of many people's lives that they spend a lifetime getting control of, and some never do. But Paul says it this way in verse 26 and 27, be ye angry, comma, and sin not. In other words, there's a place for anger if it's properly used. if it's the right kind of anger. We ought to be angry against unrighteousness. We ought to be angry against those who make God their enemy. We ought to be angry against evil and wickedness that takes place in this world. And all you have to do is pick up a newspaper and you can see all kinds of wickedness and evil things in this world. We ought to be angry that there is so much unrighteousness, so much darkness, so much wickedness in this world. And when it affects us, when we are the ones that cause some of it, when we are the ones, because of our deeds and actions, actually contribute to some of that wickedness and evil in the world, it ought to grieve us. It ought to make us come to God and repent and confess our sins, because Paul says, "Be ye angry and sin not." Anger, uncontrolled, unbridled, unrighteous anger is sin. We should let not the sun go down upon our wrath. If we are convicted of anger, and if we have been angry towards someone else, especially our mate or someone very close to us, we should repent of our sins, confess our sins, ask for forgiveness, get that straightened out before we even let a day go by. That's how important it is to God. Neither give place to the devil. We know the devil wants to use division. He wants to use strife. He wants to use bitterness and anger between individuals to drive wedges, to make divisions, to break down the unity of the body of Christ, and that not ought to be. So don't give the devil an opportunity. Don't give him an open door to cause division between you and a brother in Christ or you and someone else, whether they're saved or unsaved. That's the second area, anger. First area is truth. The second area, anger. The third area, some people, even after they're saved, hold on to this weakness that they had in their old life as an unbeliever, and that's this area of being tempted to steal, to take things that do not belong to them. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. And so the Bible condones hard work. We should be working, laboring with our hands, providing not just for ourselves, but for those that we love, our family, and those around us, those who are in need. Let him that stole steal no more. God blesses those who are honest and do a hard day's work for an honest day's living. So we need to take that to heart as words of encouragement, exhortation, encouraging you to examine your heart. Lord, search my heart. Know my thoughts. You know, there can be things in our life that we're stealing amid. They don't have to be material things. It can be time from your employer. It can be a lot of different things that we could be taking that are not ours. And so we need to ask God to cleanse us from all unrighteousness and help us to know what that is, so we might repent of it and allow the Holy Spirit to be doing his work to remove it from our life. So we're dealing with truth, and then we're dealing with anger, and then we're dealing with honesty and integrity, and then we're dealing with our words. Verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. We do more damage with our words than anything else. And so our words come from our heart, and what's in our heart is what comes forth through our mouth, and the tongue is an unruly evil. It is very difficult to control, and it takes the grace of God and the power of the Holy Spirit to control what we say. Our words can really inflict damage. Again, not by way of condemnation, but by way of exhortation. Paul is encouraging us here to let no corrupt communication proceed out of our mouth, our words. And we tied that verse and all the previous verses to verse 30, and that's where we are today. Verse 30, Look at verse 30 of Ephesians chapter 4. It's a verse that most of us are very familiar with. We've heard it many times. We've preached about it many times. Paul says, and, connecting it to everything that he has said in this passage of Scripture, and, you know, one more thing, let's add to what we've been saying, and grieve not the Holy Spirit. Grieve not the Holy Spirit. What Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. To put that very simply, Paul is saying, stop and remember who the Holy Spirit is and what he's doing for you. Think about who he is. The Holy Spirit. It's not just some spirit floating around out there in outer space somewhere, but he is God. He is a member of the Godhead. He is a part of the Trinity, the third person of the Trinity. And because he's a person, he can be saddened. He can be grieved. He can weep. Why would the Holy Spirit weep over us? Because we're doing something that he is not pleased with. And so our point this morning, believers are to change from grieving the Holy Spirit to pleasing the Holy Spirit. Change from grieving the Holy Spirit to pleasing. And before I go on, let me remind you that the Holy Spirit lives in you as a Christian. Remember Paul's words in 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20? You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Remember what the temple was back in the Old Testament? The temple and the tabernacle before the temple? It was God's dwelling place. It's where the people recognized, here's God. Here's where we find the presence of God. In the tabernacle, it was visible. We saw the Shekinah glory on the tabernacle. And the people knew when they saw that pillar of fire by night and that cloud by day sitting on the top of the tabernacle, they knew that's God. God is there. That God's presence is here among us. And in the temple, when the temple in the Old Testament was built and the Ark of the Covenant was placed in the Holy of Holies. And the priest did his duties on the Day of Atonement each year. The people recognized that's where God is. That's a holy place. You, Paul says, your body as a Christian, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. God is in you. Don't grieve him. Don't make him sad. Don't do things in your body that are like what the old man would do, that are worldly and fleshly and corrupt and evil. That's not you. God has sanctified you. God has changed you. God has made you a new creature. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Don't make him sad. Honor him. He's there. He lives in you. Honor his presence. Glorify him. Because this is such an important concept. This is such an important thing for us to know and be encouraged about. This verse is placed in the center of the passage on the practical living in Christ. And I would like to submit to you that all of the previous things we've learned in the book of Ephesians and all the things that we're going to talk about before we're finished, all of them tie back to this verse. This verse is one of the key verses of the book of Ephesians. This verse is our words. This verse contains words that Christians should think about regularly. When we go about our daily life, when we're doing our thing each and every day, and we're trying to be a good Christian, and we're trying to walk a pure life, and we're trying to be a light in the world, and we're trying to give a testimony to people about who Jesus is, we ought to keep this in mind. When we're tempted to sin, when our thoughts are not are put under check by the Holy Spirit, and He convicts us of sin and thoughts and things that we shouldn't be doing, this verse ought to come to mind. Grieve not the Holy Spirit. Don't grieve Him. Believers are to change from grieving Him to pleasing Him. This is one of the key verses in everything we've said so far. And everything that we're going to say in the rest of this book comes back to this idea of the Holy Spirit is living in you. You are a new creature in Christ. You've been born again, chapter 2. You've been quickened by the Holy Spirit. You've become a part of the family of God. You've become a part of the church that Jesus Christ is building. Therefore, grieve not the Holy Spirit. This command should be one of the major guiding principles in the life of every believer. You know what James tells us in James chapter 4, verse 17? He says, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Who reminds us that something that we're going to do or something we have just done is sin? Who convicts us of sin? It's the Holy Spirit who's living in us, amen? Because God cannot dwell in the presence of sin, not comfortably at least. And so when we allow sin to become a part of our lives, when we use our bodies to commit sin, we're grieving the Holy Spirit. We're grieving the Holy Spirit. And so we can comfortably say all sin is painful to God. All sin is painful to God. But sin in the lives of His children? Oh, that breaks His heart. God knows we live in a broken world. God knows that this world is under a curse. God knows that this world is going to be sinful. It's going to be wicked. But He has called us to be what? To be holy. To be sanctified. To be set apart from sin. And so He expects the world to sin. He knows the world is embedded in sin. But when His children sin, His children whom He has quickened and redeemed and sanctified and blessed beyond belief, the spiritual blessings that we have in Christ chapter 1, and then we sin, that breaks God's heart. That causes the Holy Spirit to weep. When God's children refuse to change their ways, the ways of the old life, and replace them with the ways of the new life, God grieves. The Holy Spirit weeps, as it were, when He sees Christians lying instead of speaking the truth. When He sees them being unrighteously angry and not dealing with that anger and repenting of it. When He sees us stealing instead of sharing. When He sees us speaking corrupt words instead of words that are uplifting and gracious and edifying, the Holy Spirit weeps. And then grieving can lead to quenching. Quenching the Holy Spirit. We preached on this before. Remember, I said that quenching the Holy Spirit is like pouring water on a fire. And the Holy Spirit is the spirit of fire in a good sense, a fire that burns with righteousness, the fire that burns with demonstrating God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. The Holy Spirit performs good works through us and works in us so that we can perform good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven and let our light so shine. The Holy Spirit is a fire burning within us in a good sense, a good fire. And when we sin, it's like dumping water on that fire. It's like quenching the fire. We don't want to do that, folks. We don't want to throw water on the fire. But when we sin, that's what we're doing. God wants to be working through us. He wants to be working in us. He wants to be using us to build up, to edify the church, the body of Christ. and to build the church of Jesus Christ, bringing it to completion. And whatever violates the will of God and the holiness of God, that will limit the work of the Holy Spirit. That will quench the Spirit. That will dump water on the fire of the Spirit. And that can take place in our lives, in our homes, in our churches, in our nation. It can take place on so many different levels where we quench the Holy Spirit. And when God's children begin grieving the Holy Spirit, they begin to forfeit His power and His blessing. If I were to say this morning to you, how many of you want the power of the Holy Spirit in your life? You really want to see God doing dramatic things. You want to see people responding to the gospel that you're sharing with them. You want to see people's lives being transformed through your help and your work in them and your testimony to them. What do we have to do? We have to allow the Holy Spirit fire within us to be fed. We need to give Him fuel. How do we feed the fire of the Holy Spirit within us? Obedience, yielding to the Holy Spirit, listening to the direction He wants us to go. God's will is revealed to us through the Holy Spirit. When God opens a door of opportunity, the Holy Spirit gives us the unction to go through that door, the power to do what God wants us to do, the strength, the ability, the grace. Don't throw water on that, folks. When you're throwing water on that and you're wondering, why do I never see God doing anything through me? Why don't I see my life being effective in the service of the Lord? Why don't I see growth in my own Christian life? Why do I see so many negative things happening in my family? Have you quenched the Holy Spirit? Is there sin in your life that you're refusing to give up? Habits in your life that are pulling you down, and they're typical of the old man, not the new man. And every time the Holy Spirit reminds you, this is the area you need to deal with. This is the sin you need to confess. This is the thing you need to turn over to the Lord. And you say, no, I'm holding on to that. I'm not giving that up. That's pouring water on the fire of the Holy Spirit. That's quenching the Spirit. Don't grieve the Spirit. Grieve not the Spirit of God. And it's the way, you know, the way we treat God. It's a sad testimony of the fact that we say we love God, like Israel as a nation, the nation of Israel. Many times the Bible says that the Israel served God with their mouth. And they said, you know, we will love God, we will serve Him, we will be righteous and holy before Him. But their heart wasn't in it. It wasn't coming from their heart. Their heart was not changed. Their heart was hardened. And so how would you want to treat God? The Holy Spirit in you is God. How are you treating Him? What is His ministry? He is the divine resident that has been placed in you. He is your helper. He is your comforter. He is your teacher. He is your guide. He testifies of Himself and God. He teaches us things of God. He convicts us of sin and righteousness and judgment. He regenerates us. He seals us. He seals us, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. He guarantees that no man is going to separate us from the love of God. Nothing is ever going to be able to separate you from the love of God. That's because He seals us. He keeps us saved forever. Once we've come into the family of God, He protects us. He seals us. He intercedes for us as we pray. He guides us. He glorifies Christ through us. And He serves the Heavenly Father as He ministers to us. And that's not the end of the list. The list goes on. The ministries of the Holy Spirit are significant. And He is a holy God. He is the person of the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead. How would you treat God if He were living in you? Hello? He is. He does. Paul asks, in effect, how can we do that which is displeasing to the one by whom we have been sealed into the day of redemption? Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 1 for just a moment. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 12 through 14. Talking about the ministry of the Holy Spirit here. In verse 12, it says that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest, the down payment, the guarantee of our salvation, our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. How can we grieve the one who does so much for us, the one who is our guarantor of eternal redemption? How can we ungraciously grieve God's infinitely gracious Holy Spirit? Paul's words can be words of condemnation to those who are in the process of grieving the Holy Spirit, but Paul's words can also be words of edification and comfort and encouragement when he says, "Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." Do not grieve him. There should be a change. There should be a change in our life as a Christian, a change from grieving the Holy Spirit to pleasing the Holy Spirit. Just like there should be a change from lying to speaking the truth, there should be a change from unrighteous anger to being angry at unrighteousness, a change from stealing to sharing, a change from using unwholesome words to using wholesome words. There should be a change from grieving the Holy Spirit to pleasing the Holy Spirit. In your outline, in your bulletin today, you see there that I was planning to go to the last point today, the change from human behavior to heavenly behavior. As I looked over my notes several times this week, I realized that is a lengthy discussion, which I'm going to save for next week, Lord willing. But today, just I think it's such an important subject matter that we have dealt with. It's been short this morning, but a very important subject matter. Let us change from grieving to pleasing the Holy Spirit. And again, that's something that we can't do in our own strength, is it? It's something that we need God's help to do. It's something that we need grace for the accomplishment. And so may we depend upon the Lord Jesus Christ to give us all that is necessary to live a life that is godly and pleasing to the Lord. Our Father in heaven, we are so grateful today for the privilege of being in the house of the Lord, talking about the Holy Spirit who is in us, whom we have of God. We are not our own. We are bought with a price. Therefore, Paul says, glorify the Holy Spirit of God. Glorify God, whom you belong to, whose you are. Lord, thank you. If there is someone here today, Lord, who wonders, how can I have the Holy Spirit in me? How can I get Him living in me? I pray, Father, that you would show them your love this morning and show them that it is because of your intense love for them that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, into this world. He went to the cross of Calvary and died in our place. He took our sins and paid for them on the cross of Calvary. He took His own blood. He used His own blood to redeem us, to buy us out of the slavery of sin. And God loved us so much that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. If you're here today and you need a Savior, you need to know that you have the Holy Spirit in you, all you need to do is put your faith and trust in Him today. Say, Lord, I believe. I believe that Jesus died for me. I believe that you're willing to forgive me of all my sins, past, present, and future. And I believe that you are willing to save me. Those who call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. We ask you to respond during this invitation. If you need a Savior, we're going to ask you to surrender to Him. Ask Him to be your Savior today. Trust Him. Trust Him in your heart. If you'd like for us to pray with you, we invite you to come as we sing a song of invitation. You come, and we'll pray with you today. And then we'll give you literature. We'll give you Bible studies. We'll give you help and instruction on how to grow and how to change from grieving the Holy Spirit to be someone who's actually pleasing the Holy Spirit in your daily life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.